It's part two for The Lion Sleeps Tonight, parentheses, Whim Away. This is part two. Make sure you've listened to part one before you listen to this, because we talked a lot about part in a lot of parts in part one. We talked about a lot of things in part one.
The parts.
But we will talk about the rest of the parts now after everyone's favorite segment, Living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland!
Lovely. There's only one person in this one.
Martin.
No.
Emma.
No.
Oh, man. What a sad fucking
story. But she was also in Gilmore Girls.
Whoa, was she Doyle's grandma?
No, they were never in it. She was only in one episode, and it was in season one. And Doyle wasn't in there until season four.
Oh, okay. It is, and I believe that I will not fail at all on this one, The Girl Who Got Eaten by the Lion.
Nope.
Oh.
It's a very obscure.
Oh, okay. Hold on. I like these. Let me look to my notes here. Is it the hot ortho girl?
No.
Oh, okay. Give me a second. I could do this. It is. Let's see. No, I don't know that looking at my notes right off the bat, I'm going to be able to get this. Is it one of the girls that Arizona hooked up with?
No.
Dang. Okay, who is it?
The leader of the grief group.
Oh, the grief thing. Dang it.
Yeah.
Teddy, you just cost me a Living in Shondaland award.
Yeah. So, I'm... Carol Foreman is the actress's name, and she was in one episode of How to Get Away with Murder. So I was expecting Martin and Emma, but alas.
Yeah, that old couple looked like a couple that maybe would have been in an episode of Scandal or something.
Yeah.
Or like Private Practice. They're like in their 80s and they're like, we would like to get pregnant, please.
Oh my God.
And Naomi says yes. And Addison says, you don't even have genitals. They don't work.
Or vice versa. Addison's like, absolutely. And Naomi, for whatever reason, is against it. It's just unpredictable in that show. Yeah. Who's going to be for what?
Oh, man.
Well, let's start with Martin and Emma. So, again, we talked briefly about Teddy and the grief group. Not going great. But
yeah.
Then Emma is like, please don't make me a widow. Ouch. So Martin and Emma are in town.
If you even knew, Emma, what you just have done to our poor Teddy.
Martin and Emma are precious. They're in town because they're about to get on a cruise to go to Alaska so they can see the whales, which is such a bucket list for me. I would love to do that. So they saw the lion. Martin had a heart attack, which is kind
fair.
Of an appropriate response. So they come in and she's like, you're actively having a heart attack. We're going to take you to the cath lab. And then like, while they're doing that, he has another one. So they're like, we really need to do surgery. During surgery, things get a little dicey, but because Teddy's amazing, she's able to like fix it. And then at the end they say, oh, you have like a heart of a 50-year-old now, even though he's a million and a half. But she goes out to tell Emma that it went well. And Emma has just quite literally fallen down dead in the waiting room. And I hate it. Like, as soon as I saw them, I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
But I will say, I couldn't remember if they both died for a minute. And this is horrible. But for a minute, I was like, oh, maybe they both die. And then Teddy doesn't have to tell him that she dies, because I remembered for sure that Emma died. But I was like, oh, maybe Martin also died. And then Teddy doesn't have to tell anyone. But then Martin was fine and is going to live like more time without Emma now.
Clearly 100 more years.
Like, so upsetting.
Insane. I just want to know how long she had been laying there dead.
Yeah, same. But also, she looked asleep.
She did.
And when I was in the hospital, like visiting my grandfather when he was in ICU last month, my grandmother also fell asleep multiple times in the waiting room. there were lots of other people also sleeping in the waiting room. So I'm like, yeah. You know, if she had been like, and then fallen down, I would be like, okay, someone should have done something. But it kind of,
she's
really
having
just
a heart attack.
Like she just maybe fell asleep and then died.
Yeah.
It's upsetting.
The problem with this too is no one falls asleep gracefully in waiting rooms.
Yeah.
So she's sitting there. She's like, I'm not even going to try to imitate it because this is an audio podcast, but it's pretty, it's unsettling. And the second I saw her laying there, I was like, you know what, Shonda, you can just suck on one. Like, this man is not going to take this news well.
Yeah. And Teddy has to deliver it. And she's like feeling so great because she just like saved this man's life so that this precious couple could have more time together. It is rude.
And
did you think before they showed Emma, did you, like when we first meet the old people, did you think that they were going to live or die?
I don't know. I did not think Emma was going to die.
Yeah. since she didn't have a heart attack.
Yeah. There's a lot of PTSD since the one episode with Big John or Big Jim, whatever his name is, where like the girl, all of a sudden she was fine. And then the adrenaline was like, oh no, I no longer have adrenaline. My organs are in complete failure. I'm dead inside.
And like, outside.
She at least came into the hospital injured. Emma didn't come into the hospital going, by the way, doc, I also feel this way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this was a complete out of left field. It makes sense when you're going through this kind of stress of a loved one at that age. Like, he got stressed out by a lion. You're getting stressed out that he's going to die, and your heart just gives out, whatever happens. But
yeah,
I also think back to that scene with Denny where his, was it the clot blew? Or, no, he has an aneurysm, right? Mm-hmm. Or whatever
it was.
Whatever
an air embolus, I think, or a clot, one or the other.
So
it was a clot.
I don't know how many medical professionals want to comment on this particular thing. If you've seen it happen, please email at graysacademypod so we can at gmail.com so we can know. But I think of that scene and it was pretty much like he was like, oh, and then just passed over dead. So
yeah, like he is looking at a magazine or a book or something. And he like looks up and almost is like, like gasps.
Yeah.
And that's it. And then the next time we see him, he's gray. So unsettling.
So you would have to think that maybe this just happened with Emma because she was still pretty pink looking. Yeah.
Also, again, she is older. It's not like, I can't imagine it's wildly unexpected. These people are not like in the prime of life. Like, and it's not that they're unhealthy. It's just that like sometimes people are old. And then when you get old, you also die. That is the circle of life, the way it's been explained to all of us. So I just think it's one of those things where it's like, you know, I don't think it's necessarily even caused by anything other than the fact that they've lived a long life.
Yep.
So it's a bummer, though. I don't like it.
I will say the sadness of the scene, I think, was perfectly acted with how Martin and Teddy handled that scene.
I mean, it circles back to like at her grief group when they're like, you need to, like, it can help you process it to say it out loud, because he says it like six different ways to process it. And then he starts to cry.
Yeah.
So I think that just like, but it still feels genuine. Like it feels like that's just truly him understanding. And even when Christina tells Teddy that Henry dies, she says like, they tell you in med school, you have to say it so that the people understand. So I think it all kind of ties together in that way. But yeah, the way he cries and then like Teddy trying not to cry and then it cutting to her in the bathroom looking in the mirror saying, I'm a widow. And then she gets a page. She just goes back to work. Because it's like, yeah, you are a widow, but like now you still have to like, the world goes on, and that's what feels impossible about loss.
Yeah, I hope to never go through this in my life in general. I also don't want Jessica to go through this either.
So you guys just can die at the same time.
That's my hope. Kind of like that movie, what was it, The Day After Tomorrow or 2012, where the big tsunami wave comes and takes that old couple away.
Oh, not just The Notebook where they just lay down together in the bed and both die.
Do they both die at the end of that movie? It's been a long time
since
I've seen that.
At the end of that movie, they both die.
Okay. I thought he held her as she died. I don't remember him dying, but yeah, that's wild too. Goodness. I think we're going to reach immortality before our lifetimes are over.
I just don't know why people want that. I really don't.
Okay.
Aren't you tired?
Yeah, but I think with immortality comes a sense of I'll be fine.
You don't get to retire if you're immortal.
Yeah.
We live in a capitalist hellscape.
No. See, you don't understand. You can make
don't
all the financial.
Don't mansplain this to me.
Okay. Let me mansplain a fictional thing to you.
Literally.
Speaking of, I also just want to shout out really quick. I love my wife very dearly. You know that, correct? Everyone knows that, I hope.
Yeah, let's not say but, though. Say and. Because it feels like you're about to say but.
I'm not going to say but. There is a thing that I think you all need to know that I've loved her through this. I find it challenging with her personality, but I've loved her through it. So we did our 3-day trial of the Game Changer Network.
The Dropout.
Yes, Dropout.
Yeah.
And it's they make some noise on there. Kelsey and I talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
Game Changer makes, okay, whatever it is. Just stop fucking woman splaining this to me.
Game Changer and Make Some Noise are the ones that you and I send
I can't
each
remember.
Other all the time
I can't
that
remember.
We
yes.
enjoy a lot. But yes. Make Some Noise is a spinoff from Game Changer.
Okay.
But they're on the Dropout channel.
Okay.
Which we want to recommend. You and I want to recommend.
Yes. So I did it and I was like, Jessica, you need to watch this. And the top one was Brennan and the I can't remember their names. I'll figure it out later. But and then she was like, we got 10 minutes into it. We got through the first round of the solo prompts and just I'm just not, it's fine. And I'm like, you're wild. And I'm sitting there dying. So I play the one with Ben Schwartz in it, which was recent. And it was Jessica and Ryan. So Ben Schwartz, Jessica, and Ryan. And so we watched the entire thing. And then Jessica was sitting there on her phone at the end. And I'm like, you didn't like that? And she's like, no, I'm going to bed. And I was like, okay. She said, I was on my phone for 80% of it. I didn't enjoy it. I shouldn't have to tell you context. These are context clues, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, if you didn't want to watch it, just tell me.
I will say I disagree with her. Game Changer is one of my favorites. I also make Some Noise, but Game Changer is, I really enjoy Game Changer.
It was
the concept of Game Changer is they don't know what the game is. They have to play it and figure it out at the same time. But Actually is also really enjoyable. We love Actually.
Love
Actually.
It's also
very, very much it's very niche. It's for, the nerdy pulp culture people.
Yeah, I canceled my subscription. I canceled the free trial. But here's the thing. I'm going to get back into it when I have the time to watch it on my own. I don't have the time dedicated right now to watch it on my own. So
I'm proud of you for not divorcing Jessica over that.
it was just frustrating because, in my opinion, just tell me that you don't like this. And then we could watch something else. Don't be
passive
aggressive.
But the point I made to you, I will say, because a lot of her TV experience is subtitles.
But
and I just, it doesn't, it's not, I mean, I watch it with subtitles because I just always have subtitles on my TV. It's just not as fun. It doesn't trend, Make Some Noise. It's right there in the title. They are truly saying funny things in funny ways.
Yeah.
And it does sometimes need to be heard on not literal deaf ears. So
that's fair.
But
so,
yeah.
Anyways, okay. So Martin and Emma, sad. Teddy did great. Sad scene. not Emma. Well, fuck me.
Yeah. Yeah. Emma died. Oh, no. Yeah.
Also, remember those tiny ass iPhones that Emma had?
Yes. And we just all like they would when they just like put those like rubber condom cases on them that did nothing.
Yeah. Except collect lint from your pocket.
Yeah. From everything. It like was near it all.
Yeah. There was the other like mini storyline in that is the Alex and Morgan thing, which is funny as I say it out loud because Alex Morgan is a soccer player. So.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Alex Morgan.
So yeah, Alex and Morgan, I am on Alex's side. I think like, yeah, he is a bit of a douchebag about it, but like Arizona says a good point. She's like, you have to set these boundaries. And like, if this is how you have to set them, like, and I don't necessarily think Morgan's like doing anything wrong. I think she's like in literally the most vulnerable place she's ever been in her life, and then also like the father of this baby was a terrible human being and abandoned her, and then also like postpartum and like hormones, and then in addition to like not having a healthy child, it's just like so much to try and process on your own. And he has been there as a doctor, but also as like a sounding board and just like a support system, and I don't necessarily think she's being inappropriate. Like, I do think she's having feelings, but not like, I don't even know that she's aware. I think they're just, there's nowhere else for all of her thoughts and emotions to go.
Yeah.
So they're going to manifest to something or someone. And I appreciate that he wants to set boundaries, but like, because of who he is, he's bad at that. But Arizona, I like the way Arizona handles it, where she's like, if you want off this case, you have to be off this case. Like, you cannot continue to engage with her.
And right.
He does that. He's like, okay, so he essentially ghosts Morgan, and like she does get mad, and I think that's her right, because I do wish he had maybe before he went off the case told her that he was like going off the case. I think that maybe is something he could have done differently.
Yeah, maybe any communication.
Yeah. But clearly, like, I also don't think she would. I think she would have pushed back even at just him saying that. But it would have at least kind of not blindsided her. So then Arizona essentially is like, we're at the point where we need to decide if the quality of life that this child is going to be facing, if we continue to like fight, is going to be a quality of life you're okay with him having, which is a conversation. I don't know if we've really seen it on Grey's. I know they do it on more than one occasion in private practice. Obviously there's like more babies in private practice like regularly, since they're like an IVF clinic. So I definitely feel like this topic has been addressed more on private practice. I cannot imagine being in that scenario.
I'd like to share some of my thoughts. Not facts or true opinions, just like my knee-jerk reaction thoughts, if that's okay.
Yeah.
I think if that was my first child experience, I probably would have felt the same way that Morgan is. And I love life. I also believe fully in both the sanctity of life and the women's right to choose. So like, I am like really trying to look at this from a lot of sides here.
It's also hard when you are a parent, because like, yes, your instinct is to be like, well, I would never do that. But you're also like, we are very blessed and lucky that we have healthy children.
Yeah.
And we've never had to be in that scenario. I actually have a friend from high school who had a baby. She had, I believe it's called HELP syndrome, where like your body starts mirroring the baby illness. So as soon as the baby came out, she literally was fine. But like while the baby was in, she was like near death. So her baby was due in December and was born in August. So pretty early.
Yeah.
And they also got to a point where they had to have a conversation with the doctors about like what the possible plan moving forward would be and what the quality of life would look like. And they're very lucky and very blessed in that their child survived and has basically like no, like you wouldn't know it if you saw him like walking down the street. You wouldn't know that he was born at like 24 weeks. They had a great team. They were in Nashville at Vanderbilt, which is a very wonderful hospital specifically for NICU babies. But she did tell she had shared that was a conversation that she had, and that it was kind of around the same topic of like just having all the information and having doctors and nurses available to you and making sure you have a team that's supportive, and they're not saying it to you in like a pressuring way, but just in like, we want you to have all the information way. And they were the doctors. It was very similar to Arizona, where it was like, whatever you choose, we'll do it. And her team was also like, whatever you choose, we'll do it. And they were very lucky. And now she has like an 11-year-old son who is just thriving.
Yeah.
Just crazy. So,
yeah. And that's, I think, the scope that I would try to look at it, especially, like I said, having a kid, because when they're talking about your kid can't run or crawl, or like they'll be blind, they'll be X, Y, and Z, potentially cerebral palsy, like that's a lot of risks. And I think there's a lot of faith to have in those scenarios. Also, it's a garbage situation that Morgan's in if this was real life, because her boyfriend, the baby daddy, just left her and she's by herself
basically was like, you should let this baby die.
Yeah.
Before they were at this point.
Right. And that's, I think, looking at, and I don't know what I would do. Again, these are just my knee-jerk reaction thoughts, but I'm like, if I had to choose between potentially never getting to see the joy of like my kid running up to me after, like when they get home from school, or you know, the smile on her face when she gets to see, like when she saw Vampirina, when she, you know, these things that exist, there's other joys. These are not like the limitations of joy in having a kid, but like those things, it would be hard to picture a world now having again, knock on wood, we're very blessed, healthy child. But that was like my knee-jerk reaction thought, is like, could I live without getting, like, not getting those experiences again and sharing those? But
for me, it's more just like tough. When they say that, like, your child is just going to be in pain all the time.
I'm
like, I don't know. Like, I'm just making this choice for me. It's you have to be like, who is, at what point is the choice not for both of us? It's just for me to have you here.
Yeah.
And like, if you're, there's a difference between like, oh, you know, your child is blind, your child has a disability, or your child like maybe needs like walking mobility assistance or something like that, versus just like your child is only ever experiencing pain, or on a daily basis is experiencing immense pain.
Yeah.
To me, there's just like, that's a very different line, because you can still like, you can have a disability and still have like a wonderful life. But like, to just be like, I'm sentencing you a life of physical chronic pain because I'm not ready to not have you here. That's, to me, where like but it's also so hard because you don't know. They're not saying like, oh, for sure this will be the outcome.
Right.
So then it's like, just, well, higher risk. Because then it's like, do you live the rest of your life wondering? Like, it's just like literally the worst. And Alex says like, you have been dealt a crappy hand, but like, you're the only one who gets to choose what happens next. Like, it's your hand. You have to decide.
Yeah.
And I like what Arizona says when she's like, you did the right thing, because she needs to be like as tough as she can be. And if hating you is what helps her get to that level, you're like benefiting her and her child.
Yeah. Then you've done the good doctor thing. You've done what you needed to do.
And he didn't give her bad advice. Granted, the delivery is never great from Alex.
Yeah, it was a bit dickish, but it was true. It was true stuff.
Again, he is still in the learning process for communication and boundary setting. So unfortunately, Morgan got the brunt of that. But everything he said is factually correct and good advice. I just think the delivery could use some polishing.
Yeah, he will be a work in progress for a while, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Overall, does this storyline continue? This wasn't a wrap on this, was it? Was this the end?
This is not a wrap on this.
Okay, that's why I was like, there's got to be more. We got to see what happens.
Yeah.
I think that's all I have for the notes on this one, though.
Yeah. Did we talk about, I think we talked about everything. Oh, we didn't really talk about Derek and Lexi. So they're doing an aneurysm. He's going to have Lexi clip the aneurysm. And she's like, are you sure? You know, I messed up last week. He's like, yeah, you did, but it's okay. Like, this is how we learn. We move on. You're not going to do it again. And then she brings up Mark and Julia because she overheard them talking and Mark saying he wants to ask Julia to move in with him. And she's like, what are you going to tell him? And Derek's like, this is not, we're not doing this.
I forget that they're like brother-in-law.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I do think they have a good relationship. But again, Derek does a good job with boundaries on this because he later on is like, right now, I'm not your brother and your big brother. I am your attending and I need you to be a resident and like focus and be like dialed in on this. Because again, coming off the heels of the mistake of last week, he needs to know that she's like 100% all in where she needs to be for this patient. And then in the surgery, he can kind of feel that she's not. And so he takes over and he's not rude about it. I think he's doing a good job as a teacher. But see, this is where it does get a little fuzzy because he then like he feels bad for her because she doesn't push back. She's like, yeah, you're right. Like, you take over. Like, I'm not in it. And then he does give her good advice in relation to Mark. I just think it should have been done outside of the OR because he set a good boundary and then was like 5 minutes later was like, but now I'll cross it.
Yeah. I mean, it was a nice scene overall. She goes in, she doesn't have the angle. He kind of says like, again, she's not an a-hole about it. He's not an a-hole about it.
Yeah.
But when he says that, like, he's going to move in with her. Like, he's an easy read. Has been my entire life. I've known him. But the only thing that could change that is if he knew that he had a shot with you. But like, he's happy with Julia. And if you want him back, make sure it's because you want him back, not because she's with another woman. He's with another woman.
Yes. Which is good advice.
And then we get the awkward scene where they walk out together. They go down the elevator together. They're going the same direction together. And she's like, I got to do paperwork. And runs away.
Well, because she's like, should I tell him? But I think she doesn't know. She's like, back? Or is it because of Julia? Like, because she says earlier, what if he's my soulmate? But then I think it hasn't crossed her mind that it's only because he's with another woman that she's feeling this way. So when Derek makes that point, she's like, oh shit. Like, where am I? Like, what is the situation here?
Right. Especially because the whole reason that they broke up wasn't about Mark. It was about the kid.
And just, general goals in life in any ways.
I'm sorry. What the kid represents for the goals in life is what I meant by that.
Yeah. But it is... I'm glad to see her not make a choice when she's not sure.
Yes. That is gross.
And I think she did kind of feel like, oh, I could tell him. And then she's like, you know what, though? I shouldn't. So.
On the Lexi storyline, when they go into the clinic room and Christina's working on the hearts and Jackson and Alex walk in.
Yeah.
And he's like, dude, just be a douche. You're so good at being a douche, blah, blah, blah. Be like Christina. Be like cold and dead and heartless, like that. Yeah. And then Lexi walks in and she goes, you guys hear about that lion lady? Like, it's so crazy. Like, she had probably a boyfriend at one point and she was, you know, the appetizer. Normal. And they wanted, or when Jackson said, he was the appetizer, but he wanted mommy for dinner. So funny. But when she says, yeah, like, she probably had, you know, friends and a life once and everyone moved away and her ex moved in with someone else. And then she's abandoned in an attic with her cat. And then first off, I forget that Lexi had another family that like left and like we don't speak of because Thatcher went off the deep end because Susan died of the sneeze.
Yep.
And Jackson just goes, shh. It's okay.
Yeah.
So. Funny.
Yeah, Jackson,
you're back on board.
Totally. This episode.
Totally different.
He just needed to sleep with that lady and now he's funny again.
Needed to bone. I get it, dude. I get it.
My gosh, people need to leave me alone. Did you sold it? Is a message I just got on Facebook.
This is the second time I've heard.
Did you sold it? Good times.
Did you sold it?
Yeah, I don't know if there's anything else on the... Do you have a prediction for Mark and Lexi?
They're going to get together before the end of this season. She's going to provide... No, you know what? She's going to break break silence. She will tell him how they feel, how she feels. They're going to kiss, and that's going to be the cliffhanger. And then Julia sees it. And then Mark has to go, if you had to choose, if you had to choose, it's a tie. And then they're going to dance.
It's a tie. Oh, and then, yeah. And then what happens when it's a tie?
Well, Derek is going to make his official endorsement of Lexi because, you know, Julia, Lexi has beliefs. Julia has none.
I really set you up to just say they were going to have a threesome and you missed it. You were leaning too hard into the Hamilton reference.
I'm trying to grow as a human, but also, yes, I think in this moment, it's crazy to say I preferred the Hamilton angle on this over the threesome. Wow. I think
growth.
I know. I'm therapy's mature.
Therapy's working.
Not if my dad asks.
Were there any other random things you wanted to... Oh, I did not love in the surgery when Miranda's like going off about the crazy lady and like Owen and Meredith aren't speaking because Meredith is pissed off. And then... Owen says like Christina doesn't believe in pets and Meredith goes, yeah, well, Christina doesn't believe in a lot of things. And I'm like, okay, Meredith, I'm on your side and I hate Owen, but like reel it in. There's other people in this room.
Well, yeah. And then Bailey's like, well, that was awkward. So we're moving on.
Yeah.
But she, okay. even in that scene, she's like, she's just like going on and on and on about the exotic animal things. And she's like, what, did I like strike a nerve? Is there someone that has a closet exotic animal that like I've pissed off somehow? She's just so, use Chandra Wilson for more comedy is all I'm saying.
Incredible. Okay. So yeah. Is there anything else that you wanted to notate or discuss?
The last thing I want to talk about on the Alex and Morgan storyline, it's not like a huge plot point, but the moment where she just finds out about what the AND topic is and she's sitting there crying and watching babies and Alex is like, oh, I see you. I'm going to walk away. That was like, dang, bro, like talk to her.
Yeah.
Give some communication.
Yeah. And also, we have to mention Richard showing Jackson his collection of foreign bodies that has been pulled out of people.
My gosh. In a secret closet somewhere. Is this just anyone can add to this or are those all from his search? I mean, he's had what, 1,000 or 10,000?
He made it sound like he removed all of them.
That is crazy.
Which I love. I would like sit there. I would be like, walk me through every single one of these. This is incredible.
When he says, sometimes we operate on geniuses, sometimes we operate on idiots. But you are never pulling a lion tooth out of a genius.
That is probably true. Again, I don't think Paul is an idiot, but I would agree you're probably not going to pull a lion's tooth out of a genius. Okay. And then we get the most iconic scene ever where Christina throws a cereal bowl at Owen and it's still not mean enough. Throw more things at Owen. So... we are going to, this will be a little bit shorter. It says I have to parent my children, pick them up. But we'll go ahead and do some ratings and then some predictions. We didn't really have a lot of questions because we recorded this a little earlier than normal. So we didn't have a lot of time for people to get questions. But someone did also ask if we were annoyed that Zola was forward facing. And yes, we were. So we also noticed it.
Yeah.
So...
at least she's not rolling around in the car, just like free range.
It's true. Okay. For me, I think to say this is like a 3.5. Like it's a little above average. It's back in like, obviously there's the shock factor of the lion. There's the sad Shonda factor of Emma. There's, I think I really like what they do with Christina, like how they have her like kind of processing it. So yeah, for me it's above average, not anything wild, definitely way above the last couple episodes, but so for me it's a 3.5. What about you?
I think ironically I rated the last two episodes maybe higher than this, but I'm giving it a 3.5 as well, but this is a better episode than the last ones. So I apologize that my scaling is not super makes sense, but I do think this is, you know, a little bit above average. It's good acting. The lion is a very random thing. So, yeah, I like this episode. It was decent.
Yeah, it's, again, at least better than the last couple. So I'm going to need you to make some predictions on the Owen and Christina front. Obviously, the main one is that you still want them to get divorced. You have a
I still want them to get a divorce.
Yeah,
I want them to get a divorce. It's going to happen before the end of the season, if it's going to happen. If they make it through this season, I think that they're going to be together forever. But if they're going to divorce, it's going to be before the end of the season.
Okay. And then what about, okay, so you said Lexi and Mark, she's going to confess. Callie in Arizona, anything?
No, they're just going to keep doing it. I love it.
Yeah. And Teddy in general.
I see Teddy's road a little bit longer. I'm not sure how this storyline is going to play out with, like, her healing journey. What I don't want to happen, though, is her come to the end of her healing journey and go, you know, I've realized I'm making amends, Owen. I realized that what I said, when I said it wasn't actually anger, it actually was. I don't want that. I don't want that to backtrack. Stick to your guns, you know? But I want to see more of her going through therapy and more of her going through the grief group settings.
Yeah. Richard and Adele, I guess, or Richard in general.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with Richard. I wonder if he ends up, like, fully leaving her before she dies. But it sounds like her Alzheimer's is so degenerative that, like, I think she's going to die before the end of the season. Maybe, okay, in true Shonda fashion, they'll heal her. They'll come up with the antidote.
Derek will cure Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
And Bailey?
I want to see more Warren. I want to see more of what's going on there.
Yeah. I love seeing them together. So when he's not there, I mean, like, obviously we love her. She's very funny on her own, but it's just nice to see also her be in, like, a happy, loving, fulfilling relationship as well. Also, yeah. I'm watching Manifest, which is a very old show, but yeah. Nurse Eli is in it.
That's right.
Yeah.
He's with the girl and the husband comes back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes,
I remember him. So. I made it through, I think, like, one or two seasons of that show.
Yeah, I'm in the first season, and I was telling Michael, I was like, it's kind of a bummer because it's like, I think writing wise, I like it better than Lost, but acting wise, it's not doing a lot for me, but I want to stick it out. Also, definitely season one. I'm still in season one and they are low budget and it is clear.
Yeah. I shout out to one of our listeners. Was it, hold on, who was it that sent me this video clip, of the West Wing. And I'm like, oh yeah, I need to go. Yeah. It was Sarah. I need to get back and watch that.
Okay. Well, I think that's it. Unless you have any other things to add, predictions or anything like that.
No, just thank you guys all for, I know that this is not the full hour of recording. I will also tell you, in addition to Kelsey having to go get her children's from the school, literally this could not have been there's not a more chaotic period of work that I've ever encountered in my entire life than today.
We had, like, planned to record during the day to be responsible. And then, like, 20 minutes before we started recording, Carmen had, like, a literal work explosion emergency.
Yeah.
And it was like, well, naturally, that's just how it goes. But, luckily I do feel like with the last couple episodes, when they're really bad episodes, we have a lot more to say. And because this episode is good, but kind of also just average, there wasn't, like, too much to say, but not, like, too much to miss either. So I think we covered everything. And if we think of anything else, we'll throw it in next week. And if you're longing for more, you can hop on our Patreon and find some more content over there. And make sure you're following us on Instagram, and you can find everything at our website, graceacademypod.com. And we appreciate you all so much. And please keep sharing us and tell your friends, tell your family, tell your neighbors. And if you see Carmen walking down the street, do not throw cereal at him. Please.
Yeah, don't throw cereal. You can give me cereal. You can gift it to me. I need a glass of milk to go with it so I can eat some milk and cereal with my milk. preferably 2% milk. But, you know, no spoilies. We appreciate you all. We'll see you all in the next one.